Bakersfield Talk 104.1. Hey, everybody. My name is Nick Reed, and I would love to welcome you to the show. We have a really cool thing coming up at 10 o'clock this morning, and I know I've been telling you about it all week long, but I want to make sure everybody hears it. And it is one of these half-price style deals. We're calling it Local for Less Ozarks. Local companies, local businesses, our partners here. And Fridays at 10, this is the plan, Fridays at 10, you will have available to you at KSGF.com the ability to buy a gift card or gift certificate to a place for half of its cost. So for today, 10 a.m., KSGF.com, a Big Shots Golf. Awesome place, even if you don't play golf. You can still go and you're like, oh, I don't have any interest in swinging a club. You don't even have to do that. They have incredible staff, great food, full bar, and a number of great beers if you're a beer drinker. So anyone can have a really good time there. $50 gift cards for only $25. There are a limited number. They are going to run out. I believe they will run out very quickly. 10 a.m. is when those become available at KSGF.com. Set yourself a reminder a couple minutes before 10. If you want to take advantage of this, you're planning on buying one or more than one, to a certain degree, you can buy more than one. You can see the limitations when you go there to KSGF.com. But that's something that's upcoming. And then Monday we'll announce a new Local for Less Ozarks deal for you. But in the meantime, Big Shots Golf coming up 10 a.m. $25 will get you a $50 gift card. We continue our Friday Road Show live broadcast here at Scramblers, sponsored by Affordable Towing. Now for the latest news.
Two Laclede County men are now in jail after being charged with burglary and stealing. A neighbor called police after witnessing people taking things from a barn on a property in Camden County. Jeffrey Jones and Bobby Alford were among several at the property at the time of the call. None of the people could justify a reason for being there. An investigation into the other three individuals at the scene is pending. A two-year-old boy was airlifted to a Columbia hospital after a near drowning at Lake of the Ozarks. The accident happened just west of Osage Beach. According to reports, the boy walked away from a home on Terra Vista Road and was found in the water. Greene County detectives are investigating a theft by two men posing as golfers at the Twin Oaks Country Club in late June. Detectives believe the vehicle is a black newer model Mazda CX-9. Surveillance video from the club shows two men pulling into parking spaces, getting out, and checking door handles for unlocked vehicles. The thieves got away with $1,500 in cash and a debit card. The thieves tried to use the victim's debit card at Target to buy more than $1,000 in gift cards. The Ozark County Sheriff's Department is downsized due to budget cuts. Sheriff Cass Martin said that due to increasing inflation, expenditures, and far below projected sales tax revenue, the department has been forced to downsize staff. Last month, the department announced they were going to start scaling back on patrolling due to budget issues. Sheriff Martin says that multiple staff members, as well as two deputies, were laid off in the downsize. I'm Matt Moyer, Springfield's Talk, 104.1.
The First Alert forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement. Sunny 91 for a high today, 67 tonight, sunny 94 tomorrow, and Sunday sunny, a high of 98. I want to mention something for you here. And there has been a very disturbing trend that started during the Obama administration, and that is the slow assimilation of the American people into silencing themselves out of fear of being punished by the government. The very reason the First Amendment was articulated in the Bill of Rights was to prevent what we saw yesterday from the Biden administration when it came to essentially, calling out people who question or criticize the government's treatment of a private citizen, in this case, Donald Trump, as somehow a danger, somehow potentially responsible for the future murder of FBI agents. This is exactly, these are the people the First Amendment, as it was listed, was recognizing our protection from when it came to our ability to criticize and to question. It wasn't about private industry. It was about saying Citizens should be able to criticize the government. Citizens should be able to call out the government. Citizens should be able to insult the government. Citizens should be able to, you know, point fingers and say these people are corrupt without fear of government coming after them. We saw it, the first real true indication of this happened right here in Missouri. What I believe was the first real marker down that the left in this country, and they're the ones that are driving this, were going to begin crafting this atmosphere. And it was when that rodeo clown at the state fair became a target nationally because he did what rodeo clowns have historically done. They wear different masks, oftentimes masks, as they're being goofy and running from the bull and everything of a former president, the former president that he happened to choose was Barack Obama. And, of course, you can't do that. This was the beginning of that real totalitarian effort by the Democrat Party to dictate to Americans that you cannot criticize government officials. Democrat ones, of course. Republican ones, yes, you can, but Democrat ones. And it was government. I mean, you know, you're talking about the state fair, you're talking about government involvement. You had Jay Nixon, the governor of the state of Missouri, banning a citizen from the state fair because he wore a mask in a entertainment venue that people saw as making fun of Barack Obama. Now, folks, I don't care what you say. That's North Korea-style stuff. The punishment may be less severe, but the fact of the matter is having government punish a citizen for poking fun at or questioning or criticizing a government official is anti-American as you can possibly get. We have, and I say that was the first real marker because it obviously wasn't the first case, but it was so public, there were even Republicans that were supportive of it because they too were afraid of being criticized or afraid of being accused of criticizing Obama. And we have gotten to the point now where you had the Attorney General of the United States yesterday standing up, condemning people for questioning the FBI, condemning people for criticizing the FBI, saying that he was not going to stand by and allow Americans to insult the integrity of FBI agents. Excuse me, but as Americans, we have the right to criticize people in government. We have the right to be wrong in our criticisms. We have the right to be insulting if we want to. Does it mean that every American that does so is accurate or correct? No, but that is our right. And the protection, as specified and noted in the First Amendment, is protecting us from people like you. And I don't want to hear a single Democrat out there tout their adherence or their respect for the First Amendment as long as they continue to support efforts like that. Traffic update now. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Right. Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Affordable Towing. We have, as you know, we do an author of the week every Thursday. If you missed this past Thursday, Dick Morris, his new book, The Return, about Trump's return to the presidency. We got the podcast up, KSGF.com, and ABC Books always sponsors that. Well, so as you can imagine, we get a lot of books, and they're getting stacked up, and Sarah's trying to sort of straighten things up, declutter, if you will. And so she put a bunch of those books. Not all of them have been authors of the week. Some have been, but they just get sent to us quite often, different books. And we have a box of them here. So if you are looking for something to read, there's a box up by us here. Is it on the other side of the wall? It's up by where we're broadcasting here from Scramblers. You can go through, and if you see something that interests you or you like, go ahead and grab it. Or if you see a couple, you know, feel free to do so. That's why we brought them, is thought, well, you know, you guys and gals might as well have them if you want. Eric Burleson joins us this morning, and it's our first conversation with you since the election's over, and the scope of the primary election, much different than what you were accustomed to. Was it more than you thought it would be? Was it about what you expected as you're traveling? I'm sure to some areas that maybe you had been to before, but you weren't overly familiar with, and maybe some areas you hadn't even been.
Yeah, it's great to see you, first of all.
Well, thanks.
And, but yeah, the I would say I'm just overwhelmed and feel very blessed with the outcome. It's very humbling because we were being I felt like Ukraine at points because we were being bombed and bombarded with negative attack ads for weeks leading into it, and I didn't know if what people if they believed those ads or not, which were just totally anyway. It's over. And so you just didn't know. Now, when we would knock on doors, I felt great because I would knock on a door, you kind of get a good pulse of where people are and what they're thinking about. And I felt like people were, from our conversations, I felt really confident about the race. But then again, when you're wearing a shirt or something that says your name, people... You kind of think, well, this may be a little bit jaundiced. People are...
Right.
They might just want to... Because you're right there.
Yeah, and people a lot of times are people pleasers, so they don't want to be in an uncomfortable position, which would be uncomfortable for a lot of people to be like, no, I don't like you. So they're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to support you.
Right. So what I really am grateful for is not only did we win big, but we won in every county.
I didn't know that.
So
very interesting.
Yeah, we won in every.
So what are there? How many counties are there?
10 counties.
10. Okay. So every county you won.
Yep.
Which county was the closest and which was the biggest?
So the closest would have been Berry County.
Okay.
You know, Cassville area.
That, all right.
That area. It's and you know, Shell Knob. That's a great area.
Mm-hmm.
It was an area that was difficult to get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because there weren't very many opportunities. There weren't very many events.
Got it. Okay.
There weren't very many, like, community.
Like where gatherings occurred.
That's right.
So you could hit a large gathering of people at once.
That's right. And it was extremely difficult to door knock in that area. Extremely difficult.
A lot of windy paths and dirt roads.
Like, yeah.
And that little voice in the back of your head saying, maybe I shouldn't be here.
Well, a lot of homes that are on a road that says, you know, we shoot first and ask questions
exactly.
Later.
Right, exactly. And even though you're
you're like my people.
Yeah, but at the same time, they don't know that. They may not know who I am.
Right. But, I mean, honestly, that county was was closer, but we still won it by a good margin. The biggest county that we won was my home county, Greene County.
That makes sense.
And we won it by 44.
Yeah.
Maybe it's higher than that, but.
Did you hit any doors in which somebody just really was more than happy to let you know they had no interest in talking or that they didn't like you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always interested in those stories.
I was knocking doors here in Springfield, and honestly, it was for these school board members.
Okay.
When the school board, and this, if my campaign manager knew that I was doing this, he would be livid. And thank goodness he's not. I'll see him today. You know, but I was knocking doors for Kelly Byrne and Steve Mikowski, which is just absolutely goes against the grain of politics.
Yeah.
You know this. Like,
absolutely.
A guy running for Congress, go knock doors for school board members. But I was doing it because I wanted those guys to win.
Yeah.
And it was a Saturday that I thought, man, I was done. I did not want to make any more phone calls. So I went, and I just love door knocking. Mm. I really like the experience.
Wow. Not me.
And
a
so
rare breed.
I knocked on the handful of doors here in Springfield, and I thought, oh, that's right. I'm knocking a list of people that are frequent voters on school district elections.
Okay, so.
So it's a different
crowd. Mix, yeah.
And I was getting some good responses. I would either, it was like extreme. Every door somebody would open up and say, know who you are? Nope.
Well, you know what?
Or another person would say, hey, what are you doing knocking on my door, right?
And I tell you, for me, at least, intellectually, I kind of would appreciate if it was somebody that had no, that they knew, I'm not going to vote, the, you know, whatever you're doing, to just be like, hey, I know you are, no, and that's the end of it. Because you're not sitting there letting me waste my time pitching you. But you're not being horrible or rude or anything. And so that, you know, I think that would be my most appreciated. But some people can't help themselves, and they really, I think, want you to know how opposed they are to you or your cause. And that, I would just, I don't know how I would deal with that. I mean, everyone deals with that sort of thing later. I think I'd be like, really? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I would say most of the time, if they disagree with me and they know, they knew who I am and they disagree, they just say, yeah, move on.
Yeah.
Please just keep going.
Yeah. Okay.
It is remarkable how many people these days will answer the door and in wearing items that you think you probably should...
Cover up a little bit.
You didn't have to answer the door.
Yeah. the people that maybe they don't get visitors that often, they're like, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Right. Screw pants. We got Eric Burleson with us. We're continuing our live broadcast here at Scramblers, sponsored by Affordable Towing. The American Transmissions Talk and Text Line, 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed.
Hear about it.
I know I'm beating a dead horse here.
Talk about it.
The hypocrisy and the double standards kind of unreal.
On Springfield's Talk, 104.1. You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Yeah, no, I agree. Springfield's Talk 104.1. My name is Nick Reed. It is our Friday Road Show here at Scramblers, and Eric Burleson joins us, and it's, you know, I mean, of course, you never want to take anything for granted, but I don't even know the last time a Democrat had the 7th Congressional, so for the folks in the 7th Congressional, the primary sort of is the election. Certainly the more difficult and stressful part for you, I imagine. Was there anything about it that did either catch you off guard or surprise you, or you think, well, I didn't, because, I mean, you've obviously been successful in running races, state rep, state senate, so you know that aspect of it, but you are talking about areas of people that have never even heard of you. They have no idea. Which, right. For people who live here, that may, like, well, you know, gosh, he's on the radio and everything. But if you say to that person, can you name a state senator that represents the Joplin area or the Anderson area? And they're like, well, no. And so it's the same thing. These are people that you might as well be from another planet.
Yeah.
And I was that weird, I guess? I mean, it's almost like it was back when you very first ran here, I suppose.
Yes, it was. It was very weird. Very weird. But I did have moments that were really cool. But
like, well, I want to hear one.
So my wife and I accidentally crashed a party. We really did.
How did that happen?
So So let me give you an idea of what we did this day. First,
okay.
So we began the day with a morning parade in Seneca, Missouri.
I want to go ahead, even though it's just a little bit early, and go to traffic, because I don't want to interrupt this story.
Okay.
Well, halfway through. I just did. Okay. But we've got this. So this is Seneca Parade Day, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we're going to hear that story with Eric Burleson coming up here in just a couple of moments. As we continue the Friday Road Show from Scramblers, I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
First Alert forecast sponsored by Navant. Employee benefits that work. Sunny 91 today, 67 for a low tonight, 94 tomorrow, and a high of 98 on Sunday. One of the things about campaigns are that you end up working very closely a lot with people, and you form relationships that I think most people don't appreciate or understand. And so you end up with tons of really neat. You could write books about the stories oftentimes. And Eric Burleson, of course, just though he has successfully had numerous state campaigns, you know, state rep, state senate, 7th congressional, much different because, you know, you're embarking into territory in which people don't know you. They've not heard your name before. And so you are selling yourself for the first time. And oftentimes, of course, campaigns, like I said, you have great stories to tell, funny events that occur. And one of those such started with you. Eric Burleson at the parade in Seneca, which I remember years and years and years ago being in for a campaign. So I'm familiar with that parade route, or at least how it was back then.
I think you begin the parade in Oklahoma.
I don't remember. I just remember handing out stickers for a candidate back forever and a day ago.
But we begin the parade at a place that was an old casino.
Oh, no kidding.
In Oklahoma, just on the line in
Oklahoma. I'll be darned.
So it's cool. It's really neat. Some of the things that I will forever remember this race and the memories and the fun. And so we had a ton of volunteers at that parade. It was a really good parade. And, you know, you start the morning doing basically a mini, like almost like a little mini jog through
community. Right, yeah.
So you're already, usually a parade will wear you out. But then we had another parade in Pineville that day.
Okay.
That we needed to do. And that was like an evening parade, about 4 or 5 o'clock.
So was this 4th of July stuff?
It's the Saturday before the 4th of July.
Okay.
So we did the parade. Then we thought, well, we've got all these volunteers, and they want to, and we've got some time between that and the Pineville parade. So we went and door knocked in Neosho.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we go door knocking in Neosho. Ben Baker, who's a state rep in Neosho.
Right. He used to be mayor, right? Wasn't he mayor there?
Yes, that's right. He is a rock star. Conservative.
If memory serves, he made national headlines because at one point I think he was a Boy Scout, Cub Scout leader, and they were going to raffle off, I think, an AR-15 or something.
Oh, yeah. So
that was several years ago.
Yeah. So then I meet up with him at lunch with our volunteers. We're buying everybody lunch. And Ben says, hey, if you're going to come back here after the Pineville parade, come to this party. It's a private company, you know, and they're owners. He described it, and it sounded like this just, you know, more than just a small gathering.
Sure.
It was this massive, you know, gathering that was at a private residence, and he gave us the pin drop, and I said, well, we'll see how tired we are and whether we can pull this off. So we go down to Pineville, work that, which was really a lot of fun.
So people that don't know, pin drop, that's on your phone. It's
that's
a location.
Right.
He sends you, here's where it is. And
right.
I don't want people to be confused as to what that means.
And so on the way back, it's just, at this point, it's just a handful of us that are still have enough gas in the tank to do anything.
Got it.
We're sweaty, tired, and everybody's wearing the Burleson T-shirts. We navigate to this location, and I'm going down this road, and it's clearly the place because there are signs, balloons, everything.
Right.
And we're pretty much at the pin drop. I think this is it. So we pull in, and it is hundreds and hundreds of people. They've got jumping. What are those?
Jump house?
Jump
like
houses.
Big inflatable jump house.
They've got rock climbing things.
You're
set
like, man,
up.
He undersold this.
Yeah, and people are eating barbecue. The host waves me over and he goes, Eric Burleson. And he goes, hey guys, Eric Burleson's here. And he's like announcing the crowd. People start cheering. And then he starts introducing me to people.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Ben invited me. He goes, oh, Ben, okay, great. And then I go, is Ben here? And he goes, no, he's not here yet. And I thought, okay, well, then at one point, we're about to go through the food line, and Ben Baker calls me, and he says, hey, where are you? I go, well, I'm here. And he goes, well, where, you're there? I said, yeah. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in the living room. And he goes, I was just in the living room. And I said, where are you now? And he goes, in the front yard. And I looked out the window. I said, are kids playing kickball in your front lawn? He goes, no. You're at the wrong house.
Oh, you are kidding me.
And so we talked to this owner, and he said, no, I've got an employee named Ben. I thought you...
Oh, he thought, well, that's a weird question to ask.
He's
Is
like,
ben
wow,
here?
How did Ben know Eric Burleson? But the guy knew me and was just
Well, everything
so
it seemed,
gracious.
It just fit.
And he had seen that I was in town that day.
So he thought you were just crashing his party, and he had no problem with it at
all.
That
Ben invited me to come to his party. Ben.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. He's like, man, Ben's got clout.
And so then, but he said, Ben Baker? And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, I know Ben Baker. So I told Ben, you have to come over here
yeah.
and at least say hello to
right,
this person
yeah.
so I don't awkwardly, you know.
Sure.
So, but that gives you an idea. So
that is funny.
To put a pinhole in that, the owner of that company had a conference here at White River just this weekend. Mm. He had it was a dog breeder conference. So guess what I did? I took my daughters and we crashed their conference.
That's great.
And he thought it was
that
hilarious.
That is funny. So did you make it to the other part, the party
yes.
you were supposed to go to?
Yes.
Did everyone have a good laugh at your
they
expense?
They did.
So what was that conversation like with Angie when you went and you're like, how?
Well, Angie was the navigator. So she's the one that navigated me to the wrong house.
So how did you tell, was she there when you found out?
But when you looked, we were looking at a pin drop
well,
on
yeah,
the map, right?
If you aren't really zoomed
and
in.
And the two houses were not very far
right.
from each other. So we just happened to see all of these signs and balloons and thought, that's got
to
be
did
the
you
one.
Get to tell her? Did she, was she
oh,
still?
She was just as embarrassed as I was.
But was she there when you were learning this? Or did
oh,
you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if you got the, like, if you had the pleasure of, like, all right, how am I going to tell her this? How should I package this conversation? Just, Angie's funny. That's great. That's a great story.
Yeah. So that was one of the highlights of our last year.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We'll continue on here. Can we have you till like 8? I'm sure you're hungry.
Absolutely.
And everything. All right. Eric Burleson with us. And, you know, of course, talking about a lot of fun and everything. But, man, what a time to go to Congress. You know, for me anyhow, thinking about what that would be like, you know, there's almost, I guess just because of the way that things have always been in the past, you have this traditional idea of, you know, Republicans, Democrats, legislation, but that's not really what it is anymore. It seems like there's so much more at stake now than there used to be. It's not about policy. It's about
about getting control of the Leviathan.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's the point now where a lot of people don't even know that it's possible. They think even if Republicans do get control of everything, because, you know, we're doomed. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well with Eric Burleson coming up. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. It is the Friday Road Show, sponsored by Affordable Towing at Scramblers. Eric Burleson with us, winning the primary, and that I think most people recognize that means that you will be the next 7th congressional congressman. And in the past, you know, me growing up, you growing up, is a lot of, all right, well, whose policy's this, whose policy's that. There was pretty much agreement that, hey, I mean, both parties, America's great, and we have these fundamental agreements, you know, freedom of speech and freedom of this and freedom of that. But we have different ideas about taxes and a number of different issues. But now it seems, as to me anyhow, that we have people in charge that none of that stuff matters. There is clear attempts to suppress. I mean, you have such unequal application of the law. If you are a Democrat and you illegally trespass in Congress, you get a $50 fine. If you are a Republican, you could potentially still be in jail waiting for trial. If you are a Democrat protester violating federal law outside a Supreme Court justice's home, you're not only allowed to do it, but you're encouraged to do it by the White House. But if you do something similar as a Democrat or a Republican, you get hauled off. You know, and of course, that's just in the citizen capacity, but then you've got the whole...
Well, then they're targeting the elected officials that they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, Pennsylvania
of.
Right now, they're really hitting a number of lawmakers in Pennsylvania. But other lawmakers, like you mentioned, and amazingly enough, it's always Republicans that they come after. And it just seems like we are in a much different place. It's no longer two parties that agree on the fundamental basics of liberty and the Constitution. One party that is openly now just saying things like, well, we just need to get rid of this amendment, get rid of that amendment. We need to go away from doing it this way. And it's clear that there is no adherence or respect for the Constitution. And so some people feel that it, you know, nothing can be done at this point because they don't care what the rules are. They don't care about the elections, about the equal application of law. They will do anything they have to. And so there's grave concern, and you're going into this.
Right. Well, we have what are called peaceful revolutions or opportunities mm-hmm. for peaceful revolutions every election. And this November, I think, is going to be a revolution. I think that we are going to win big, and then we're going to take control. We're going to fire Nancy Pelosi, and we're going to begin investigating, and we're going to start impeaching people that are not following the rule of law. And I think that you have to do that. You have got to get control and get their attention. And one of the greatest things that we have going for us is the Supreme Court that Donald Trump really left
yeah,
us.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And that court, that decision on, you know, against the EPA that recently was, that decision is probably one of the most important decisions.
I'm with you on that. I felt that of all of the things, of course, the Roe v. Wade, that was clearly very significant in a number of ways. But I was gravely concerned about the outcome of that EPA deal. And I think because there was so much hysteria over the Dobbs decision, the significance of that EPA decision was just totally underplayed.
Yes. And it's going to have lasting impact on the deep state. And so and I think that's the problem that we're seeing right now. And we saw it when Trump was running. I mean, look, the deep state or the swamp, they have become their own entity, right?
Yeah.
They're like the politicians you cannot unelect. Like, you can't
right.
vote them out.
You don't even know who they are.
And so, sadly, the one mistake Trump made is that he should have fired so many
yeah.
more people
yeah.
walking in the door. He should have just got rid of the first few layers of, you know, top layers of the
I think
state.
He knows that now. Well, and I just want to, in a sentence, mention for people that are wondering what that EPA decision was, essentially what you had were the EPA creating laws, and there was this argument that you cannot do that. You were not given this authority. You were not given congressional authority to do this, and the Supreme Court essentially said that, and so that really curtailed a lot or the powers, if you will, that they were using.
Right. And I fought it here locally on the state level. We had our Department of Natural Resources that were carrying out and executing EPAs. They weren't even, there was no legislator passed anything. They didn't even issue a rule. They didn't even, like, normally a bureaucracy will go through the process of creating a rule.
Mm-hmm.
This, they would just operate on guidance documents written by some bureaucrat,
yeah.
and then our state DNR, with their enforcement, would spend the dollars to enforce things yeah. that were in a guidance document, and this had huge impact yeah. on small businesses in yeah. our area.
A fear that I have, understanding, one, human behavior, and two, the mindset of a lot of elected officials in the Republican Party, is you talk about the need to start holding people accountable. And for that reason, hold individuals accountable who have abused their power, who have violated laws. And what I suspect will happen is the time will come and there will be some Republicans that are afraid it'll look like revenge, afraid that it will look like, oh, well, it's just payback and we don't want to appear as if we're doing that. And what I hope is that there are going to be enough that recognize that's not what that doesn't matter. What matters is beginning to hold people accountable, because what I have recognized over the years is that even every so often you have these people, whether it's deep state or elected Democrats, that do, quote, get held accountable. It ends up the benefit they got from their violation far outweighs any sort of repercussion that they had. And as an example, the FBI attorney who falsified the documents in order to get the FISA court to allow them to spy on Carter or the Trump campaign through Carter Page. That guy got community service. And a year later, he got his law license back. That is nothing.
Right.
And so here you have somebody within the FBI that is falsifying evidence before a secret court to spy on Americans and community service.
And caused us to go through
yeah.
years of turmoil and...
I mean, it's and so
and to falsely impeach a president of the United States.
Right. And so that's what I worry about, is that the punishment doesn't come anywhere near a deterrent. There's no deterrence for, I mean, they already feel protected anyhow, that they will not be prosecuted. But those that it just becomes something that is unavoidable, the punishment is so pathetic that it's like, oh, well, you know, it was well worth it without a doubt.
Yeah, sadly, there are there seem to be fewer and fewer people that just want to serve that want to serve the government, regardless of who is in power, and just have an allegiance to the nation as a whole. There's fewer and fewer people that instead, you know, they seem to have total disregard for the rule of law, for justice, and just everybody seems to become partisan, right?
Yeah.
But I believe, and this is sometimes when people get frustrated with Republicans, because we don't go that far.
Right.
We do respect the rule of law, and we try to think, well, we wouldn't want to have this happen when we lose power, right?
But it does anyway.
But it seems to.
Well, and that's that you're the new guy in prison that wants to be nice and everything, and then you got the guy that's like, oh, even prison rules are out the window. And so that's, you know, it's what these laws in the Constitution are supposed to sort of prevent, is the people who don't want to play by the rules, and to put them in check, say, no, you can't do that. But unfortunately, that just seems to be out the window.
Yeah, I think, to your point, we need to investigate the deep state. We need to, you know, and then we need to prosecute them fully.
And what has to, I believe, happen, if there's any opportunity or chance that we are going to get things back the way that they should be, is it has to be such a massive, almost catastrophic alteration of the way things are done that it's almost unimaginable to people. You know what I mean? Firing a few people isn't going to do it. It has to be the sort of magnitude that people can't even fathom occurring.
Yeah.
And you know, that's
well,
just
even Fauci, the guy, he stands before us, and to our face, he's this public figure. And yet, if you forget his name, and I just said to you, we uncovered that there is a government employee that was working with the Chinese government to help weaponize biological, whether it was COVID-19 or other things. Now we know about this new virus that is like 60 times more deadly that they were working on. People would say, well, that guy is a traitor.
Right.
And should be tried, for committing treason. Not he should be able to be on a national syndicated.
And throwing out first pitches and having bobbleheads created in his honor. More with Eric Burleson here in just a couple of moments. I'm Nick Reed.
You're listening to Nick Reed in the Morning on Springfield's Talk 104.1.
And you get your members.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We've got Eric Burleson with us. Man, I thought I in my head I had a well. Let me ask you this: there is a conventional wisdom that McCarthy is going to be Speaker of the House. Though I hear there's those that would like to see Jim Jordan in there. Are you already getting? I imagine you are being communicated with by leadership in the House, given that the recognition that you will be the congressman from the 7th Congressional District. What are you getting in all of that? What are you hearing, if anything, on that front?
I've gotten phone calls from...
And Jim Jordan endorsed you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I knew he did.
I've gotten phone calls from McCarthy and... Mm. And I think Scalise was out of, he's been on vacation, but has tried, he's been trying to, I've been told that he's going to try to reach out.
Got it.
Congressman Smith has been really, and I've got a relationship with him from working with
Jason Smith?
Yeah.
He represents more for people listening, east of us.
Yes. And had a handful of other people reach out, and it's funny because I feel bad because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like when they say, "Hey, this is so and so,"
and you're like, "Oh,
I'm
yeah."
Whenever they say that, I've gotten to the point where I assume, okay, it's got to be a congressman because they...
The way they're approached.
Yeah, the way that... So it's really, it's pretty cool.
Well,
but,
and...
But I would say I want to... I'll do what I did in the House. There's people that are going to get elected, whether it's McCarthy or whomever, and my job is to be a constant pressure and yet keep a good relationship with leadership, pressure to pivot to the right and to stay to the right and to lean, to be, giving them the encouragement and the...
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. So essentially what you've been doing at Jeff City.
Right. And I would say you ask folks like Tim Jones or Steve Tilley, and Steve Tilley, for example, was not a conservative firebrand, mm-hmm. but he and I got along because he knew, okay, when I need Burleson, when I need somebody like Burleson, he's there,
got an ally,
and I'm right there to give try to encourage him and give him.
A question I have, and we only have a couple minutes left, so it's unfair to even ask it now, but I've known you for a long time, and I consider you a good friend, and so I know you as Eric, a guy, a friend, right, who also happens to have embarked on these, journeys and running for office, getting elected. It must be surreal that people that years ago you would watch on television or see in presidential debates, that you're getting phone calls from these people. I can't imagine that.
It is weird. It is really
weird. That's just got to be so unimaginable.
It is. And when Ted Cruz came in, it was just, that was weird. For me, it was...
Well, sure. I can't imagine.
Because I sat down with him for a good hour beforehand and just, chatted about the race and about politics in general, and every moment of it I felt like
and you've got to also I would imagine if it were me there would be this almost revelation that wait a minute, he's not just here humoring me, he's here because there is a component of me that he recognizes is needed, and we're colleagues In a capacity, and that it's got to be an odd sensation.
Yeah,
we got 30 seconds.
I can't comprehend it. Yeah. It's not. I look at some of these guys whenever they're on TV, and I think, man, I could never do that.
Right.
But I've got it. I think
I
got to figure it out. So
well,
I hope to make our district proud. That's the one thing I hope people go.
Yeah, so do we.
My goal is for people to say, hey, that's my congressman, and be proud of it.
Well, hope that you continue to keep in touch with us.
Absolutely.
All right. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.